I just want you to go there. I'm going to read to you and talk to you from my heart. And I do trust that you'll receive this from heaven today. Don't by any means, let's not disrupt the Spirit by any means. You know what you feel in your heart already, what God's wanting to do. And I don't want you to disrupt that or abandon that at all. I just feel like God's wanting to help. Just at every part of us. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us to love the Lord with all our soul, mind, body, and strength. All that. That's our whole being. Why would we feel that God doesn't want to heal our whole being? Amen. God wants us to serve Him physically, but also emotionally and spiritually. All those areas, God wants to be healthy and in our lives, vibrant and whole and wholesome. But in the book of Luke chapter 11, I just feel these verses impress on my heart. And I know this isn't new to you. And I can't remember all what I've preached here over the years or taught, but I know that God, how many knows this is a living Word? Amen. The Bible is the only book you can read every day and not get sick of it. If I got up here every Sunday with a novel or a book somebody wrote and say, look, I'm going to preach this for the next 50 years, I guarantee by a year into it, you say, I'm sick of hearing about that book. Every time I preach the Word and read the Word, it's never stale. It's never stagnant. Amen. It's a daily bread. It's not a leftover. It's a fresh Word for right now. No matter how many times you read over it. Amen. If you look with me here in the book of Luke chapter 11, and these words are great, and I want to walk us through this real quick, if God will help us just for a few moments. But Luke chapter 11 says this, and it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, talking about Jesus, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples. And He said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as it is in heaven, so in earth. Amen. How many believes today for a fact that God doesn't have any problem in heaven right now with doing His will in heaven? He cast that out a long time ago. His name was the devil. Amen. There's complete authority in heaven that God shows us. Anytime you get a glimpse into the heavenlies in Scripture, you're not going to see disorder. You're not going to see unbelief. You're not going to see any chaos. Heaven is a place that is completely underneath the rule and the power of God Almighty. Amen. But we see here this great glimpse into these verses that He says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. So we've got to come to this concept as a church and as believers that here in this church, that the kingdom of God, people often say, what is the kingdom of God in the Bible? What is it? Can we see it? Can we touch it? Is it tangible? Is it something? The Bible lets us know when you study in context that the Bible says, the Bible speaks of the kingdom of God not being meat and drink, but it's the Holy Ghost having complete authority and control in the lives of His people and in His church. Any place you see a church that is operating underneath the influence of the Holy Ghost, you're going to see the kingdom of God in operation. Anytime you see an individual, a person that is saved and that is operating underneath the authority of the Holy Ghost, you are there witnessing the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is all around us, saints. The kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is something that God's authority and rule must be in our lives. Now, I'm going to ask you this question as we are speaking for a few moments. difference. If God has a kingdom, what would it look like? If God has a kingdom, do you think it's going to be in chaos? Do you think it's going to be in disarray? Do you think it's going to be in disorder? Do you think there's going to be sickness there? Do you think there's going to be discouragement there? Do you think there's going to be unbelievers there? No, sir. The kingdom of God is when He has that rule, He has that authority, and He shows us His power, and He's working, and He's getting the glory in every life that is here. I believe God wants His kingdom to be in this room this morning. Amen. I believe God's wanting to impress us, and wants to touch us and strengthen us, that He can say, look, I will get the glory through all of that. Notice this. It goes on to say, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, I want you to notice this. He goes on here, and we have this great subject here in the next few verses. He talks about this in context. I'm going to go to the latter part of it and work our way backwards. He begins to show us two different parables, and we come to the conclusion of this, that God wants us to ask Him for anything. God wants us to ask. God not only wants us to ask, but God wants us to ask believing. How many believe that? God don't want us to come to His throne, you know, there, come to His throne brokenhearted and to the place to where we have no confidence in Him. But He wants us to be able to come before Him. He wants us to be able to ask Him with audacity, not disrespect, not irreverence, but when we come to Him, we can have this audacious ask, a confident and daring quality, a boldness that when we come before God, we have the confidence that He loves us and cares for us and has our well-being. And when we talk to Him and ask Him something, we can be confident that He's going to give us an answer and He's going to help us no matter what we're going through. So He tells us here in a few seconds. Let me get down to these verses. He says this right quick in verse 9. Look at that with me. And He said, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. Seeking you shall find. Knocking it shall be opened. The Bible tells us again and again that we need to ask Him for what we have need. What's your needs today? We're not talking about a new car unless you really need one. Amen? You ever needed something in this world? I've asked God for a few things before. Said, God, I really need this. But don't go to God and ask Him for a new toy or something for play. No, He's saying, come to me and ask. The audacity to come before Him. Notice this. I'm going to show you in Scripture and prove to you here for a few seconds that God wants us to ask Him. Matthew 7 and 7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Matthew 21 and 22, and all these things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. John 11 and 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask, of God, God will give it thee. John 14 and 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 14 and 14, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 15 and 16, whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, He may give it you. John 16 and 23, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He shall give it you. Don't you think we ought to ask Him? I've seen people build false doctrines on one verse in the Bible, out of context, and they'll die for it. Time and time again, here in the Bible, He tells us to ask Him absolutely anything. James 1 and 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Ephesians 3 and 20, now unto him, we talked about it some today, unto him, it says, now unto him that is able to exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or thank, according to the power that worketh in us. So we come to this conclusion today, that God wants us to ask Him when we have needs, when we have circumstances, when we have battles, when we need God to help us, we are to come to Him with confidence and with love and with reverence. Come to Him and say, look, I can ask God absolutely anything. I can talk to Him. I can love Him. I can confide in Him. And God wants us to come to Him and ask. We don't have to go to Him and say, Lord, please, I know You don't want me here today. He says, no, I want You here. appear. You don't have to say, God, I don't know. I know it's me again. God don't look at you as a me again believer. He looks at you as a son and a daughter. And He says, come to me and ask. Quit trying to do it yourself. Quit trying to carry it yourself. Quit trying to live it yourself. Quit trying to build it yourself. Come to me and ask, and I will help you. That's what God wants us to understand today. He's wanting you to come to Him. And He's wanting you to ask Him anything that is a need in your life or whatever you're going through, God knows. So notice this, when we understand this great fact that we are to ask Him, we come to another great fact. Who are we asking? We're asking God. Now, if I told you today that there's a multimillionaire that told you, come to me and ask me anything. If you have any debts, I want to pay them. Would anybody be hesitant? If you had any debts, some of you, I mean, I know some people get out of debt and that's great, and some of us are in the process. Amen. Car payments and things. I wouldn't mind going to his door and say, look, you know, somebody told me to come to you, and you said that you're willing to pay off any debts of anybody in the church, you know, you really like our church, all these things. Would I be the only one to ever go and knock on his door? Amen. Now, if you prayed about it and God don't want you to, but He hadn't told me not to yet, I would go. But notice this, that hadn't happened yet. I don't think nobody in this room is a multimillionaire that I know of. But I want you to get this concept is this. The one who asked us to ask Him. I don't want to confuse you. The one who has asked us to ask Him and promises that He will answer and do if we do ask is God. He's not a millionaire. He's not somebody that just can help you financially. He's somebody that has all ability and all power. So notice this. God has asked us to ask Him. And if we do ask Him, He will do what we ask Him to do. Wow. We're on the good side of it, is what I'm trying to get you to understand. We're on a great receiving end of this that God has provided. He wants us to ask Him. Now notice this. I've had people come to me before and say, Brother Derek, they'll say something like this. They say, if there's anything that I can do for you, just let me know. Has anybody ever done that for you? And if you're like me, I'm kind of like, you know what? I've had my parents even say before, look, you know, if you need anything, just let me know. You know, when you first get married, that's the last place you want to go. Now, do you believe that your mom and dad meant it? Yeah. But there's been quite a few times, you know, I would say, I'd rather go out there and I'm searching the couch cushions for coins. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going there. I ain't asking them nothing. You know, I first got married, and I remember me and Holly one time I had to put together change. We wanted to go get some chicken nuggets. You know, this first year of marriage, trying to get everything together, and, you know, making moves and transitions and rent and, you know, car, all the reality where you are. I said, man, I would hate to go there and ask them anything. But guess what? I had a grandma that said the same thing. I love my grandma. And they pick on me. I remember one time I said, we needed something. I said, look, I ain't going to mom and dad. You know, something like going to your own dad. It's just like, go to grandma. Oh, sweetie, no problem. But grandma's a good debt collector too. She don't let you forget, and I wouldn't forget. You understand what I'm saying is this. We have people all the time that tells us, look, ask me. I'll do anything for you. But we have this hesitancy. We're like, look, that'll be the last thing that I do. I want to encourage you today that I believe that God, when He tells us, is there anything I can do for you? I'm not saying He's offended, but understand this. Get rid of your resistance. Get rid of your pride. Lay it all on the altar. Lay it behind you. He's not your mama and daddy. He's not your grandma. He really wants you to come. And it's not, my friend, this is a thing. It's not even questionable. If you don't go to Him, you're not going to make it. That's when He says, come to me. You can do it with confidence. Everything, that tendency to hold back. You know, and then you say, look, I don't want to be a liability. I want you to understand this today. You can never be a liability to God because He's God. Anything you ever ask Him never diminishes Him because He's God, and there's nothing that will diminish Him. You know, it's different than when if somebody has $100 and say, look, here's 20. That person then has 80. Here's 20. You then have 60. You know what I'm saying? Your resources deplenish. They go down. But understand, when God gives, it's still there. When God gives, it's still there. When God gives and gives and gives by the millions and by the billions and by outpouring and gives you everything, God gave us everything and it's still there. Amen. It never deplenishes. It never depreciates. He's God. So the one who has asked us to ask Him has the resources that will never go wrong, and He has the perfect resource for you. There's times I needed something that nobody could give me. Anybody ever been there? There's time you need something and it's not money. You know, money's something that people say, if I have that, you know, people can get money. Especially in the day of lending and loans and all that stuff. But the things that you need spiritually, there's nobody else that can give it to you. And He's asked us to come to Him. He's told us that. We are told to ask, but well, sometimes the mentality that I have witnessed throughout the country and the mentality I've even fought in my own life is this. Sometimes we are told to ask, but we seem to be embarrassed. We almost seem like this will be ridiculous to go to God for. This will be so, I don't think I'm going to go to God for this. I feel like I'm a bother. I feel like this. I want to tell you, you never bother God. You never sit there and throw God up His rocker, so to speak. God looks at you and says, ask me, and you don't have to be embarrassed. You're not intruding. He means, He's letting us know, I want you to ask. Come to me. But I want you to look at this third point with me when I read these scriptures. Why can we ask Him? Why can we ask Him? Because He has made a way unto the throne of grace. We've talked about it on Wednesday night Bible study. I'm glad I don't have to go to the high priest. Amen. I'm glad and even in Catholicism, I would be a miserable wreck. I see why half of them are ill sometimes. You know, I'd be miserable to have to sit there in a booth and talk to some man on the other side of a curtain and say, look, man, can you talk to God for me? I'm down here, I'm struggling, it's miserable. You know, can you tell Him I'm sorry? Can you tell Him to forgive me? You know, can you do this? Can you do that? And you've got to work your way up the religious anarchy there. And you're sitting there, Erica, and you're trying to figure out. You're trying to say, look, who can I talk to talk to God? Who can I get to? You ever know, it's that concept. You know, I've got to know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. Amen? You've got to try to work your way. It's not, no, I want to let you know, my friend, this isn't a business. This isn't employment, and this isn't religion. This is life, amen. That when you have to get to God, you can bypass Derek Jones, you can bypass Abundant Life, and you can go straight to Jesus, amen. And guess what? When you get, if they won't pick up the phone, the line to heaven's never busy. You're trying to contact them. You ain't got to go through Facebook, my friends and brothers and sisters. Just go to them, amen. Just talk to them. Just love them and go to them. It doesn't matter what time it is. Just go to Him. He has told us we can ask because He's made a way. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need. Amen. I wonder how many has a need today. Go to Him. Walk to Him and talk to Him. The throne is open today. Go talk to Him. Just talk to Him. Just ask Him. Does that mean we always like the answer? We may not understand it, but we don't doubt it. But God has never left His seed begging bread. He's never not provided the wisdom and the understanding. If we ask Him, notice this as well. So when you ask, how should you ask? I want you to follow me here. The two ingredients that I believe, if you don't mind me putting it this way, puts a smile on the face of God. The two ingredients is this. It's faith that God is sure to answer and delights to answer. How many knows God is sure to answer? That's what faith is. It's coming and not saying, God, you missed it last time. Lord, I know this is a pretty big issue, and I know you're up there somewhere. You're my distant cousin on a faraway planet. That's not Him. You ever been to a family reunion and you don't know anybody? I've been to them, and I remember we had a family reunion one time. I think it was 200 people there. And it's the chapels. I promise we're not inbred in North Carolina, but it was a big family. Somebody said, that's a big family reunion. Something had to go. I said, look, I don't know. I said, I know there's just a lot of chapels there. And you find out people were related to chapels you didn't know were related to chapels. Amen. I remember going there before, brothers and sisters, and I'm thinking, I don't know any of these folks. And so you end up sitting with the same people that you sit with when you're at home. And you sit there talking. And then you look at this table, and it's got all this food up there. You say, I don't know about that. And I'm asking my grandma, what did you make? Because you don't really know them. But you say you're related. I want to let you know, God's not like a distant cousin. Don't come to church and treat it like a family reunion. I'm telling you, the table is spread. And the man that's put this together, his name is Jesus. And I'm telling you, you can know Him more intimately than you can know your brother, your sister, your wife, your father, your mother. He's there because He's created you. He knows how you form. He knows how you work. He knows how you tick, so to speak. He knows everything about you. So ask Him. I love, the Bible challenges us to have childlike faith. And we have this great example in Scripture. Let's get back to our text here. When it says these things, and let me go ahead and give you the first point first. He gives us two parables, and I know you know these. But notice this. He said unto him, which of you, in verse 5, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is on his journey to come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are now in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. So the parable is this, and let me clarify. Say all of a sudden one night, say it's 1 a.m, and you're sitting there and your doorbell rings, and somebody's at the door, and they got their children with them, and it's your cousin from out of town, and you had no clue that they were coming. And they say, look, I meant to message you, and we thought we had talked, I'm sorry about this, but we're here to stay, and man, we're hungry. And if you like our refrigerator and cupboard, sometimes till we go grocery shopping, you look in there, you say, man, you know, do this. But what if you look in your, and there you don't have nothing to feed them? And you're like, oh man, how rude would I be? You know, this, don't think, forget the 24-hour Walmart. Say you're living in this time. Let's bring it back to where we can understand this culture. And so you go to your neighbor's house and you're like, man, I need some bread. And knock on the door. Hey, do you have any bread? Can you knock on the door? Somebody, a voice comes in from the inside. What do you want? 2 a.m. My children are asleep. We're in bed. You have to understand, they didn't have 2,000 square foot homes back then. Most of their houses were one room. The children would lay on the floor. The family would lay in all one room. And can you imagine that father having to jump up and climb over the children and go into the little kitchen area there, try to find bread, try to light a candle, wake everybody up. So this man from within the house says, what are you doing? Leave me alone. We're asleep. It's late. All of a sudden, you keep knocking. So that man on the inside eventually is going to say, you know what? He's going to wake up the whole house and the neighbor's house if I don't give him some bread. So he goes to his cupboard. And so this is what I want you to understand. This is the idea behind this. And after he gives us this parable, he says, look, your friend would get up and give you the bread because you have need of it. But then verse 9 says this, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and for seeketh findeth. Find him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What he's saying is this, is that look, your friend is like that. But Jesus is greater than a friend. He'll come to you and meet your need regardless. Guess what? He's willing to give you what you need. But what is the words he says? I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Asking is pretty, one of those things that's kind of laid back, you know. You just kind of ask, hey, can I have this? Seeking kind of puts it in motion. Seeking is the idea. Well, now you're not just asking, but now you're seeking. And then knock is almost the idea of urgency and intensity. And no, he said, it shall be open to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Have you asked Him today? Is my question. He gives us a second parable. And I'm going to leave you with this morning. We're going to pray. He says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. Then he says in verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will you give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask him an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father? So notice this. How many, we got children. I mean, several of us have children in here. Chloe, my little daughter now, has this thing where she comes up to me and, you know, you can't hide that you're eating anymore. It's amazing how they got almost like perfect hearing if you're undoing a wrapper or anything. I'll be sitting in another room and just kind of open up something. She'll come around the corner, "Dad?" And she comes to my leg and she goes, "You know what I usually do? I'm going to give her a piece of it." The reason being is, it's my girl. And I know, you know, I want you, you know, I know some parents would object to this, but man, she likes Krispy Kreme donuts. And so does her daddy. But she'll come by, she'll tap me on my leg. And I said, I can't hide this joy from her. I would be doing her injustice, not breaking off a piece and giving her a piece of a fresh Krispy Kreme donut. But the great reality is this. I'm her father. And she asked me. Now, I want you to get this. He said, now, how many of you that is a father? He said, if your son shall ask of bread of any of you. Notice this. What if she looked at me and said, tap my leg, I have a Krispy Kreme donut. And I reach over there, I have a rock on the table and said, go chew on that, sweetie. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Notice what he goes on to say. He said, how many of you, there's a father that your child asks for bread? Would you give him a stone? If he asks you a fish, would you give him a serpent? She's asked me for the Krispy Kreme donut, and I give her a rattlesnake. How crazy would that be? Call the law. I'm crazy if I'd done that to my daughter. But then notice what he goes on to say this. He says, she'll ask an egg. She's looking there, I want some of the Krispy Kreme donut. Oh, here's a pet scorpion. You see how ridiculous that sounds? How horrible that sounds. How injustice that sounds. Notice what he says. If you then being evil now had to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? He said, just as ridiculous as that sounds, how ridiculous would it be if your Heavenly Father withhold, notice this, the Holy Spirit to them that ask. I feel like I've touched on this before, but I want you to get this concept. The Holy Ghost, what a gift. What a gift. I remember one time studying these verses. I said, God, why are you comparing a child asking the Father for bread or an egg or a fish or something like that? Why are you comparing us asking you to that of the Holy Ghost, to the Holy Spirit? Because in the Holy Ghost and walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit, you will be able to withstand anything that ever comes in your life. It's like going to the doctor. And the doctor says, look, you've got a severe disease. And the only way that you can live, you have to have proper care all of the time. And the doctor says, you know what? I was going to give you a pill to take care of it. But you know what? I'm just going to come stay at your house for a while and help you get better. The Holy Ghost isn't a temporary fix. He is a fix. Well, He's there in the midnight hour. Well, He's there in the morning. Notice this. He said, how many of those would He give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So we come to this great thing that God gives us this, but we have to come to this, that in the Holy Ghost is wisdom and strength and comfort and joy and peace and direction. He is the greatest gift. Salvation, all of it. The Holy Ghost is one of the greatest gifts ever given to humanity. You say, what about salvation? Apart from the Holy Ghost dealing with you, you don't know anything about salvation. The Holy Ghost woos you to the blood. He woos you and reproves you and rebukes you and deals with you and convicts you. So if there is no Holy Ghost given, you wouldn't even know anything about the Word, because the Holy Ghost moved on men to write the Word. The Holy Ghost was given. No matter what you're going through today, I want to tell you this. Simply ask. Simply ask. I've told this story here, and we're going to pray. I know I've told this before, but I feel like every time I look at these verses, it comes to mind. But there was a woman by the name of Darlene Dibler Rose, and I've read the book, and I recommend everybody here, if you ever get a chance, read this great documentary, biography about this woman who was arrested. She was on the mission field in Japan, if I ain't mistaken. She was arrested. She was working there. I believe it was some sort of compound where they was preaching the gospel during World War II. After the Japanese began to attack America, the Japanese went to all the missionary compounds, found everybody that was an American, and instantly charged them with being a spy. Well, Darlene Dibler Rose gets arrested one day. And she's thrown into a prison. Her husband ends up dying in this whole process. She gets thrown into this prison where she's severely beaten all of the time. You read the story. She said when she had to go to the restroom, she said she remember walking up to the door of the restroom and you could just see the human waste coming out from underneath the door, just where it was just a septic system. It was just such a bad environment. And she said she'd sit there and pray, oh God, what a horrible atmosphere. They'd bring her into the interrogation room. They would beat her. The Japanese had different forms of torture where they would hit her with certain rods and bamboo sticks, all these things. Torture her to the place that she starved. She said they would throw food underneath the door at her. She said one day she would sit there. She'd eat that food because she was so hungry. She said one day some daylight came through the door and she looked at her plate and see the little insects crawling on the plate. She said she was so miserable. One day she was looking through the little feed door there in her prison. She looks out through the feed door and across the compound there, she said you could see a tree full of bananas. And she said these words, oh my Lord, I'd love to eat a banana. I would love if there was some way, Lord, if I wish I could just the taste of it. You, my friends, just like we do in America, you don't realize how much you take for granted stuff until you don't have it. Starved and dehydrated. Dysentery had set in. She's starving. She's skin and bones. She said, Lord, I'd love. Look at all those bananas over there. I would love just to have one banana. But then as she was sitting there looking through that feed trough door, she drops to her knees and says, I know, Lord, that there's no way I can get one. I'm locked away. They don't care for me. They won't even feed me normal food. What makes them think that I'll get a banana? She said, all of a sudden she hears troops coming. She said, oh, mercy. She said, I hope they ain't here to abuse me again, whatever it was. She said, the door opens. She said, it was one of her friends that was a Japanese native that came in to encourage her. The Japanese native came in and she talked to him and she said hey to him for a few minutes and the guard said, it's time to go. So her friend left. But when she left, she said something just dawned on her when her friend left. She said, oh no. She said, every time the guard comes in here and brings a friend, we have to bow down to the guard. And if I don't bow down to the guard, they beat me every time I forget to do so. And she said, I forgot to bow down to him. She said, I know he's going to come back and they're going to beat me once again. And she prays to the Lord, Lord, I know I can't take another beating. I can barely stand up. She said, about that time, she hears the footprints of the guard coming. She hears him coming and she said she begins to cry and say, God, if you'll give me strength just to stand to my feet, I promise you I'll stand up, I'll bow to him. Lord, if you'll just take me, whatever you need to, I cannot stand another beating. About that time, she hears the troops get to the door. The door unlocks. And about that time, a guard stands there with a handful of bananas. He throws them into the cell, slams the door. And Darlene Dobler-Rose says she crawls up to them bananas and counts 92 bananas. She said she immediately began to weep and cry. Notice her God-fearing as Darlene Dobler-Rose takes the bananas and pushes them into the corner of that cell. She goes back to the other corner. She bows down her knees. She said, God, I won't eat one banana. I doubted you. I didn't believe you could give me one. And you've given me 92. I won't touch another one, Lord, until I feel in my heart that you've forgiven me. She said, about that time, the Lord speaks to her and says, Darlene, I desire to give you things above that you can even ask. Just ask. I want to submit to you today, church, and I'll say this in closing. If God can give Darlene Dobler-Rose a banana in a prison cell, God can meet your need here. This morning. Amen. We stand to our feet all over this church. My wife goes to the piano. God just simply wants us to ask. God just simply wants us to ask. I'm close here. I hope I didn't abuse my time. I just want to be effective. I want God to help us.